It is 11 a.m. Saturday, April 6th, and this is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman, and for the next hour, you are going to hear some True Tales Told Live, where community members share a true story based on the night's theme with no notes live in front of an audience. This True Tales event was held April 29th at Odie's Deli in Soldotna. And the theme was sibling rivalry. You can listen to past True Tales events on the show page on our website, kdll.org. And you can connect with the storytelling group on Facebook at True Tales Told Live. Coming up this hour, we'll hear stories from Marissa Severson, Kristen Mitchell, Hetty Huss, Maura Schumacher, and Ben Betger, with a bonus musical performance by Wade Von Heater and Ryan Hiller of the local band The Caper. The MCs for the night were Caitlin Vodla and myself. Coming up next Saturday at 11 a.m., we'll bring you the rest of the show with stories from Matt Pahala, Jackie Michaels, Bruce Vodla, Sarah Pahala, and Liz Earl. Stay tuned at the end of the hour for an announcement of a storytelling opportunity coming up later in April. But for now, take it away, Caitlin.
This is our 8th or 9th or 10th storytelling night. We started April Fool's 3 years ago? I don't know. I'm just making this up. But every single time we have a storytelling night here, it's so wonderful. It's nice to have an audience of listeners. That's really what makes the storytelling night work. And to have folks who are brave enough to get up and tell a story about themselves to all the folks in the room. We're so grateful that Odie's continues to let us come and provide a space where we can drink beer and eat sandwiches and listen to great stories. So thank you so much, Odie's. The next storytelling night will be sometime in the future, probably next fall. And the theme is animals. So be thinking of animal stories, whether it was when you were an animal, no, I'm just kidding, or when you had a good, animal encounters of all kinds. That's the theme-ish for next storytelling night, which will be in the fall. Yep. Killing this introduction of storytelling night. Is there a first storyteller? All right, I bet Jenny can introduce the first storyteller.
Thank you, Caitlin. I will put her out of her misery. So tonight's theme is sibling rivalry, the ties that bind and blindside. And as with all of our themes, our storytellers can take that in whatever direction they want, literal, figurative, actual siblings, imaginary siblings, animal siblings. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that. In listening to some of the rehearsals and talking to people about the stories, though, it occurs to me that I think we are all, as a society, very lucky that we don't all treat each other as we do our actual siblings, because, oh my gosh, Child Protective Services probably should be way busier than they are, but it's within the context of a loving family, so that stuff's okay. So we're going to work through some issues here tonight. Hopefully we will come to some happier places and celebrate some of the angst and anxieties and bruising and obviously non-fatal issues that we've had since our storytellers have survived to be here tonight. So to kick things off, we're going to start with Marissa Severson, who is originally from Chicago. She moved here about 4 years ago. Marissa has two very small children of her own. And she likes to write and read stories in her spare time, which, of course, given the two very small children, it is very, very small. So the fact that she is here tonight and has prepared a story, and this is her very first time doing anything like this, is amazing. So here is Marissa.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ours wasn't really a rivalry. It's just that she didn't like me. We weren't competing with one another, but I was competing to be her friend, but I was always losing. When my parents told my sister that they were going to have me, another baby, my sister started crying. But to be fair to her, my parents built it up as this big surprise, and she thought they were finally going on a family vacation. She probably thought it was like a Disney World VHS vacation. Do you remember the ad at the end of like Little Mermaid or something? Instead, she would be sharing a room for 17 years. And that really didn't help. We are really different. And so to survive, we were like oil and water. We split. We had her side of the room and we had my side of the room and we didn't cross. And yes, there are definitely a lot of different ways you can passive aggressively turn on a light switch and open and close your drawers as you're getting ready to go out in the morning. And you know, when you're 12 and you're asleep at midnight and your sister could come home later because she's 6 years older and she turns the light on at 1 a.m. because she needs to see so she can get changed. It's, you know, all very loving in that little environment. So it was pretty intense. If her friends were over, I wasn't allowed into the room, which was hard because it was my room too. So I couldn't get to my stuff or I couldn't sleep. I would sleep on the couch if she had sleepovers. And one time I got so mad at her, I wrote her a threatening letter. And I was like, she's gonna feel my wrath with this letter. But I was 9 and I forgot a word. So I threatened her really harshly with, you be alone when my friends come over. And it really did not have the desired effect at all, at all, at all. Yeah, we were sisters, but we didn't really have a bond. You know, some of my friends had really great relationships with their sisters, even if they fought and argued all the time. One time, some friends of mine and myself, we were bullied on our way home from school by these older boys, and her sister came and shoved snow down the back of their jackets and just totally took care of it. And when I told my sister, she was like, just go tell mom. So there wasn't like the sense of secrecy and safety and protection that sometimes comes with siblings when we were growing up. We just kind of were there. But we did have this one moment though. I was like 9 and it was in the middle of July and I was hungry and I missed the ice cream truck. It drove past our block and I didn't come down the stairs fast enough and I just started crying. I was a sobbing, wailing, bratty, youngest child mess on the floor. And my brother looked at my sister and said, you need to go get her an ice cream. And she didn't have to do it. She could have been like, no, and gone to her room or gone somewhere else or anywhere else. But she did it. She ran off after this ice cream truck with her bare feet in the hot July mugginess of Chicago on the searing pavement, and she got me a bottle rocket. And it was probably the best bottle rocket I've ever had because I don't really even like them and I don't know why I wanted it so badly. But she did. She did. And we're older now, obviously. We've grown up, we've moved away. And that space has been really good for us because we are able to see each other as human now and we can actually talk to one another. And it's amazing how your relationships can change when you actually start talking to each other. And we have a 3-hour time difference, but we still talk a lot. She loves my kids so much. For Christmas, she sent them what looked like an entire store of clothing. Like, I'm pretty sure she went to like Baby Gap or something and bought out all the clearance section and sent it to my kids. It was wonderful. And a little bit overwhelming at the same time, getting box, box, box. You know, it's funny because I didn't think we would be here when I was young. I thought we would just grow up and go separate places and then say happy birthday and Merry Christmas and did you remember it's Dad's birthday, because you always forget Dad's birthday. But we actually have a relationship now and I'm really thankful. And that moment with the ice cream, those are the things that you really start to remember when you're older and you move away and you're far from home and you're lonely. You know, I don't really remember what we argued about. I don't really remember why we fought all the time or why we just didn't talk, but I remembered the moments when she was just really kind to me. And those are the moments I'm really thankful for. Thanks.
I think that pretty much knocks it out of the park for a first timer. So I can totally relate with that, being the bratty younger sibling and thinking my older sibs were just, everything that they were doing was so much more interesting than anything I had going on. And so wanting to be seen as on the same page as the old, I had an older brother, so Gender inequities, of course, played into that as well. I was way more interested in his G.I. Joes and Transformers than I was all of my Cabbage Patch Kids and Barbies. Couldn't ever interest him in playing with my toys until one day he suddenly was really interested in taking the Barbies out for a spin and the Cabbage Patch Kids out for a spin. And I was, you know, so like, oh, yay, attention from the older. I didn't question why all of a sudden, after years of disparagement and the girl toys, and I don't want to be seen with that. It wasn't until we got outside and he brought out his stash of firecrackers that I realized Barbie's probably going to have a bad ride. Although G.I. Joe, he was very egalitarian. G.I. Joe was a lot more fun, it turned out, to strap some firecrackers to, because if you remember, the older ones were just connected, the torso and the body, by a little rubber band. So when they blew, they went really far. The Barbie dolls just kind of like melted a little bit. But siblings, yay. So up next, checking to make sure nobody's chewing, how about we do Kristen? Let's do Kristen Mitchell. So Kristen, we know for many things. She is a local physician in the area. She's a KDLL board of directors member, which is awesome for me personally. And I'm sure you might have heard something about going to Antarctica recently. This would be the Antarctica lady. Are you feeling like you're known as the Antarctica lady now? Like, penguins, Kristen Mitchell. I think that's kind of your shtick around here. But today she's telling a story about siblings. Maybe penguin siblings, I don't know.
So one of the things I usually do not admit to Alaskan audiences is that I grew up in Southern California. And this is actually not quite the same Southern California that has been in the news recently, the Southern California of gates and pools and tennis courts and semi-famous parents who buy their children's way into college by bribing athletic coaches. I had a little more of an overgrown Southern California growing up. This was the early 70s. And our yard was kind of aspiring to be a jungle. And so we had lots of vines all around, and we had an avocado tree that had this big horizontal branch that attracted the bees next door when they would swarm. We'd have a big bee's nest that would hang there. We'd all have to stay inside until evening when the next door neighbor would come over with a bat and hit the bees into the garbage can and take them back home again. And what else do we have? So we had lots of vines and lots of random things kind of around the house, and we had this old brick fireplace in the back that we were warned we were not allowed to play on because it was not safe. And we had a little fort behind the garage, and my brother and I, who were, we figured out at some point, we were a year, 2 months, and 29 days apart. We were kind of inseparable at that point because we had moved across the country and back again several times at that point. So the summer that, or the winter that I was 5 and he was 4, my dad had just gotten a new job, and so we had moved to California. And my mom had just had a new baby, so she was busy. So the two of us were pretty much feral children in this jungle. And my favorite game was teaching school, which was not my favorite game that my brother liked to play, because the bossy older sister did not really excel as a teacher at that stage. And his favorite game was building the fort, which was not really my favorite game, because there were a lot of spiders kind of back by the fort. So we would usually compromise and play hide and seek. So we were playing hide and seek one day, and we had already hidden each of us in this fireplace with the bricks that were crumbling, and so I had to find a new place to hide. And I found this great big ceramic pot on the side of the house that looked like it was just about the right size to hide a 5-year-old girl, except it was full of water. So I tried really hard to tip it over, and it was just way too heavy, and I couldn't do it. And I looked inside, and I realized that the water was really dark. And it also smelled pretty terrible. And it was also moving. And the water was just alive with all of these wriggly, slimy, creepy, crawly things. And I may have blown my hide-and-seek cover at that point. So when my brother showed up, I said, hey, help me tip this over. And he stood up there as his little 4-year-old self and put his hands on his hips and looked in and said, don't worry, Kristen. They'll soon die of overpopulation. So later that spring, we had more mosquitoes than the neighborhood had ever seen. And my brother went on to be a quantum physicist, and he left the biology to me.
Hedy Huss has done storytelling before. If you've come to these, you've probably seen her, or in her other many other community involvements, she's out and about quite a bit. So Hedy has been here for 4 years and is feeling at home in Soldotna. She feels like it is her new community. She writes poetry and has been published several times in the Clarion, and she's also going to be appearing in Kenai Performers Sudden Theater. It's a series of one-act plays, little vignettes that they do, lots of community involvement. So that is coming up April 13th, 14th, 20th, and 21st. They've got a theater space on Kalifornsky Beach Road behind the subway is where that usually is. I'm sure you can get on the website and find out more about that as well, and we will find out more about Hedy.
I'm an only child, so what the hell am I doing up here? Well, only children are very adept at adopting substitute siblings. I'd like to talk about a family member that became my substitute sibling, because we really are sisters. That's my cousin Mary, and for 73 years, yes, we were born 2 months apart, we have been tight. We've had our differences, yes. And Mary could always tell when the cows in Wisconsin went from fresh feed to dry feed and back again. So in the spring she would say, I'll never eat butter until they go back on the dry pasture stuff. So that's what she did. Anyway, Mary was really good at dodging dates for me in college. And she would do her favorite thing, which was to wake me up and say, do you want a drink? Sure. I always say, sure. And so she'd bring me into the living room to meet her date. Well, she'd be gone a long time in the bathroom, so I'd go check, and there she was brushing her teeth. So to get back at her, when we played Monopoly, I knew when she was a kid of three, she was thrown into a chicken coop by farmhands and was very afraid of any bird. So, as a kid, when we played Monopoly, I got even with her. I would wait till evening, till we went to bed, and then, knowing that she had this fear of birds and knowing that she had farm wallpaper, I would wait till she was almost asleep and say, Mary, the chickens are out! They're gonna get you! Well, enough about Mary. Well, we're still friends, I told you. And then there was Priscilla Larson. She lived behind my grandma Priest. Well, I had spent all day in the hot sun trying to pick a Easter chick. I paid 5 cents for him. He was wonderful. And I took him home to Grandma's, and he was brilliant. He could do hide and seek around the garage and find me every time. But Priscilla Larson came with me across the street to the track and field place, and she stepped on Peep. Oh, I grabbed him up, and I never spoke to Priscilla Larson again. Took him home and insisted that the mercuricome and Vaseline be placed on him, but he died in the night. Yeah, it was sad. It was sad. And then I had a roommate in college, and I had 3 roommates. That was interesting enough. And Mary Jo, I could never rival. I could never compete or surpass in looks. She was a Kim Novak, who most of you won't know, but was a fabulously beautiful woman, movie star in the 50s. So that was out. So I tried to get her my brains. But one night, no brains needed, We were playing the board game Pass Out. Well, after many, many beverages, we decided it'd be fun to go out in the yard and play good old frisbee. So we went out there, threw a few things on, went outside, started playing frisbee. And next thing we know, the frisbee's on the newly tarred roof. So what do? We go up to the second floor, I boost her up on the roof. She finds and recovers the frisbee, and she slides down, not only ruining with tar my perfectly lovely yellow raincoat, she got tar all over her stomach and her private parts. So we ran downstairs and did the only perfect thing to do, which was to call a radio station. Yes. And ask them if they had some advice about how to remove tar from your private parts. I think they hung up. So we had another beverage, and we spent the night doing swabbing nail polish remover. And then after that, red like a plucked chicken, she took many showers. And that was it. So I really would like to go on and on about the stories I could tell you as an only child with people I rivaled, competed with, and so on. But I want you to know that I'd rather have a beer, so I'll cut it here.
As someone who works at a radio station, I feel like I'm totally missing out by never having got that call. How about Maura? So this is Maura Schumacher. She just moved here, fresh off the proverbial boat, and is excited to be in this lovely community and to get to know you all through this story, although that's kind of reversed because you all are going to get to know about her. Another fun thing to know about Maura, I think we will all see and hear a lot more from her because she is the new invasive species person at the Kenai Watershed Forum. So Elodia was the only one that I could come up with, but I'm sure she has many, many more terrifying invasive things that are destroying our community as we see. I'm assuming that she's not going to categorize her sibling as an invasive species, but she might. So we shall find out.
Hi, my name is Maura, and I am a fangirl. Some people might refer to us as woo girls. I prefer fangirl. And there's no one that hated this more than my older brother, Jacob. My fangirldom started the first time my brother came home from college. He came back and he was so cool. Like, he had always been cool, but somehow he got cooler. He had new clothes and he got his braces off. He smoked weed. And he came back with like a flash drive, 6 gigabytes full of new music. And this was the time when Napster was getting sued, so this was a big deal. We're talking Jimi Hendrix, Sublime, Red Hot Chili Peppers, all that stuff. But also my new favorite band, Trampled by Turtles. So my brother taught me everything that I know and love about music. He started taking piano lessons before I did, and I would beg my mom to go with him to his piano lessons. And I would sneak into the living room when him and his friends were playing Legos, and they were singing along to Chubbawamba's Tub Thumping, and we would sing along and not have any idea what we were talking about. I'd get on his t-ball team at daycare, and we would sing, we will rock you, sock you, pick you up and drop you, throw you in the toilet, hope you enjoy it. He taught me that. And as much of an annoying tag-along as I was, my brother was impressively tolerant. He had 3 younger sisters, so he was kind of a softie. And even when his friends peer pressured him into ditching us, he did so with a heavy heart. So in high school, we had a yearly tradition to make a pilgrimage to Warped Tour. I don't know if you know anything about Warped Tour, but it's a summer music festival where skinny high school kids and tank tops and fans gather from all around to like sweat out their Rockstar energy drinks. I did not fit in, but I wanted to. I stood in line for 2 hours to get my Converse signed by my favorite band. Pretty sure this was the first time that my brother referred to me as a fangirl. It was really embarrassing. So we're hanging out at Warped Tour, kind of at the edge of the crowd, having a good time, and my brother motions with me to follow him into the crowd. And I look ahead of me. There's a swirling mass of people. I was a little uncomfortable, but I followed him anyways. And as we get closer to this mosh pit, more and more people are going in the opposite direction with like blood on their face and they're like holding their arms. I'm getting super nervous, but I follow my brother in there anyways. We get to the edge of the mosh pit. My brother pushes me and I push him back and we start knocking bows and getting into it. He gets the person next to me to throw me into the crowd and I crowd surf to the front and it was awesome. So trampled. I was fangirl at first listen. I didn't really care for bluegrass music at this point in time, but they played it differently. They played it loud and fast, and they wrote beautiful lyrics about the stars and lakes and love and loss and all that stuff. My brother took me to my first Trampled by Turtles concert. We get there, and I'm excited, and I look in front of me, and there's a mosh pit. And I was super confused. I'm like, what is this? This is a bluegrass show. And he nodded and he smiled and he motioned. So I followed him into the crowd once again. Over the next 5 or 6 years, I drug him all over the place, going to trample shows wherever I could. I never got sick of it. Eventually, he bored of it and he teased me relentlessly about being a fangirl. But he'd take long anyways. I even drug him to Alaska to see Trampled. 2016 was my first summer here in Alaska. My mom decided to get the whole family together to come up here and visit. So they came up from the Lower 48. My brother flies from South Korea, where he was living at the time, to join my family here. And it worked out perfectly because he showed up 2 days before the rest of my family. I had him all to myself, and we were gonna go to Salmon Fest, where Trampled by Turtles was headlining. So I pick him up from the airport and he's jet lagged, but we press on and we get to the Nelchek, get into the crowd, start drinking beers. I'm super excited. I am just off the chain excited. I'm about to see Trample. My big brother's here. This is awesome. I keep running into like people that I know in the crowd and I'm like, my brother's here. Everybody come look. I've been telling you about him. He's finally here. And he's super like, shy and embarrassed, but we're having a good time. So Trampled by Turtles starts, and I revert to my 15-year-old self, and I start chucking bows, and I start pushing people around, spilling some beer. My brother, I distinctly remember, grabs me by the shoulders and looks me square in the eye and calmly says, Mora, it's okay to mosh. Just not during the slow songs. So I calm down and I appease him. But the music picks up again. So I start, you know, romping around and spilling beer once again. And I look over and my brother is explaining to everybody around us, it's okay, she's the fangirl. She's just a fangirl. Like, it's okay, just let her be, she's fine. So over my many years as a fangirl, I saw Trampled by Turtles over 20 times. I don't know, I lost count. 2016 was the last time I saw them. I have been a fangirl of my brother's for over 28 years. It was also the last time I saw my brother. Next week is the 2-year anniversary of his death. I will never see him again, but I will forever mosh in his honor. It's okay to be a fangirl.
What a great tribute to your brother. And it really would take a brother to feel like, oh, I'm the one that taught her not to mosh during slow songs, to appreciate how meaningful that is. Probably no one else in your life would, but I bet your brother would get very touched by that.
Up next, oh, Ben is not chewing at the moment. That's my rubric for who's coming up next, who does not actively have food in their mouth. So, Ben Becker moved to Alaska in 2014. I think all of us in the room have probably seen him at events covering them for the Peninsula Clarion, covering oil and gas mostly. He is originally from Indiana and Vermont, and we will find out more. And this microphone is going to be way too low. I can tell that right. Okay.